Good morning, and welcome to the Green Country Gardener program, right here on K1, the one you trust. Today's program is brought to you by Jensen Tractor Ranch, Green Thumb Nursery, Peter's True Value, and United Rentals. Get ready to sharpen your shovels. Good morning, and you're enjoying the music of Larry's brother. And now we got Larry's brother's brother, Larry, who's with us here, Larry Glass, with the Green Country Gardener. Yeah, okay. He's quite the banjo picker. He really is.
He is very good at that.
Yeah, man. Talented family.
You bet.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
Oh, life on the exoplanet has been rather quiet. Golly.
Well, we're on Europa,
what is this,
aren't we?
What is this, Mars? The North Pole of Mars? Golly.
Oh, golly.
It's bananas.
Anything grow in the snow, Larry? I don't think so.
The only thing growing in the snow is broken legs.
Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. Yeah. So if you've been out trying to... how many shovels did you break this week?
Actually, this has been a great week. I haven't broken any shovels this week.
You weren't digging anything.
Haven't worn out my shoes.
Good.
Anything like that. So I didn't get stuck in the snow. So
well, you know what you're doing. You've been in the snow before.
I know. I lived in Chicago for a while. Yeah. You just take it easy and go at a slow, kind of a slow speed, and you're fine. Even coming over the neighborhood, it's still icy over there.
Yeah, it is.
So you just have to take it 20 miles an hour at the most.
Mm-hmm.
15.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I went to the nursery to check on things in the midst of it, and it was 20 miles an hour.
That was speeding, too.
But anyway, made it there. Everything's fine. No problems with the equipment at the nursery.
Good.
So we're...
didn't lose a motor. Didn't lose anything. Didn't lose a plant.
No. Everything's fine. We did have one little pipe freeze in the cooling system.
Yeah.
Back at the wholesale greenhouse. Mm-hmm. But that's easy.
Yeah.
A little section of pipe about a foot long.
Just a little ply, a little
we
heat.
Won't need the cooling system for a while, will we?
No. Mother Nature's got that covered.
So, anyway.
Oh, man.
So, things are a little different this year than typically. We just have to set everything back basically a month. So what's going to happen is, though, this week, God, look at the weather coming up. What, Monday? What?
Yep. Yeah, we're looking at a high on Monday, 57 degrees.
Wow.
We're going to be hitting the double nickels on Tuesday, it looks like. Wednesday, 55.
So, that's going to melt most of the snow, I would think. There'll be a few snow piles left.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of living in Chicago. One year we had the big snow.
It was 1967.
It was May. Before the snow piles at North Lake Mall.
Yeah, I remember.
They were huge snow piles. They were there till spring.
Blizzard of 67, we had a snow fort that lasted a long time, well into baseball season. I'd never seen that kind of snow.
Yeah, I remember trudging through the snow to catch the bus. You couldn't drive the car. I don't know how the buses made it through. But they didn't close school there.
No, they didn't.
No.
Nope.
7:30 in the morning, 3
You're
below
there.
Zero, you were there.
And the teachers didn't balk either.
Anyway, in the garden, typically.
In the garden.
It's time to cut back some shrubs, roses, vines, and trees.
Got to find them first.
Yeah, put on your snowshoes.
Grab a broom.
And it is time for the heavy cutback. This is going to happen later on in the week, maybe next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of give you a prompt on what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
The leaf buds are beginning to swell a little bit. At least they were before it got really cold, and that could be an advantage, especially for sweet gums and maples, for the little whirligigs that fly around.
Mm-hmm.
A good thing is my plum trees are late in blooming. This time last year, they were blooming.
Oh, oh my.
So I just can't wait. But the funny thing is the daffodils aren't even up yet.
No.
Which is weird.
Yeah, that is. We got a few in there.
What's today, the 20th of... Yeah. February, and they're
usually a week or so that they would have been up.
So they're not up yet. Pretty smart plants. Don't forget, of course, to cut back your monkey grass too.
Yeah.
But not if you can find it. Anyway, it's getting time to put lime sulfur and dormant oil in the fruit trees. Mm-hmm. Still time for that because we've had a little bit of a weather delay, and the weather's going to be really nice this week. So if you're really serious about the quality of your peaches.
Mm-hmm.
And your plums and your cherries and whatnot, you might want to go ahead and put down some dormant oil and some fungicide.
That's what you're going to be doing with those plum trees.
Copper fungicide, yeah. We're doing that. And you can bend... Time to prune your fruit trees, grapes, and blackberries, and many other plants like that. Yeah. Your blackberries, kind of treat them a little bit like grapes, I guess. Of course, when we were kids, I lived in North Carolina, too, before I moved to Chicago. There were wild blackberries in the woods.
Yeah, tasty.
And we would go out and with buckets and go pick those berries, and Mom would have some sealed test ice cream with blackberries. When you're 7 years old, you couldn't beat that.
No. Heck, at 37, you can't beat that.
No. Yeah, 67, yeah.
Now you're talking our age now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's time to prune those back, too. And other plants, the raspberries and whatnot, prune them out a little bit, too. You want to begin spraying your roses as soon as the leaves emerge.
Uh-huh.
It's also time to fertilize your pecan trees. Use a well-balanced fertilizer with trace elements, and you can counteract rosette or zinc deficiency using zinc sulfate or zinc chelate. Mm-hmm. We have some zinc sulfate on hand at the nursery.
Good.
Mm-hmm. So if you do have some pecan trees, you might consider enhancing the quality of your fruits or nuts mm-hmm. by adding a little bit of zinc on there to help combat the zinc deficiency. Mm-hmm. So anyway, prune early this month, of course. You can plant cool season plants like radishes, spinach, and sweet peas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time to begin starting your tomato plants.
Indoors.
We actually have some tomatoes growing in our nursery.
I figured you had.
Yeah. And we I brought one home and cut it up and gave it to my wife.
Uh-huh.
And she thought that was a good tomato. But anyway, we thought we'd try a couple of them at the nursery. And they've done pretty well in the greenhouse.
Good.
So, you spend $30,000 on heat for tomatoes.
Grab a few tomatoes and make something of it, would you?
Yeah, right. Yes. So anyway, if things were right, it's time to plant some cool season plants. Your radishes, your spinach, sweet peas, things like that. It's time to get those in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also time to think about what you might want to do in the garden. And also take account of how well things did last year.
Mm.
And perhaps you can do some things to improve the quality of your stuff, of your soil, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, winter damage, we can expect some damage to some plants. Typically your nandinas, your fotinias. Fotinias usually take a pretty good hit when it's cold like this.
Uh-huh.
Some of the hollies might have a little bit of damage, but typically on hollies, it's superficial. And hydrangeas, you expect them to dive down to the snow line this year because it was so cold. Plants like Akuba and Loripedalum will be set back, but they'll come back. And crepe myrtles will be damaged. I don't really know. I haven't scratched the bark on my crepe myrtle yet as to whether or not the dieback is on it. But, can't get to it, but to see if it's damaged.
Mm-hmm.
But on the bright side, the cold will more likely set back our Japanese beetles populations. The Japanese beetles have been sort of creeping into the area, and they really don't like cold weather like this. So this hopefully it'll slow them down a little bit. Things like ticks and whatnot also will be reduced somewhat this year. So those are some a good side to being cold like this, if you will. Good for your if you're a plumber too.
If you're a plumber, you're making a mint.
So anyway, that kind of leads us to lawns. Traditionally, it's time to fertilize that lawn, that fescue lawn. But I wouldn't do it till later on in the week. Really, the moisture levels will be really good, and you do want to fertilize when there's good moisture. And also, we've had some hints of rain coming on later on in the week.
Yep, Thursday night, Wednesday. Thursday.
So if the snow melts, which I think it'll be gone by Wednesday, it'll probably be a good time to start getting that fertile get it out.
Yep,
fescue grass.
There you go.
Waking it up for the spring. It's going to be. We did have some snow cover on it, and typically the fescue grass doesn't look that bad. If the cold weather is preceded by snow cover, so it will recover fairly quickly. So get the mower out, maybe clip it a little bit once it dries up somewhat, just to get the dead stuff off the top. Don't go too low with it.
Nope.
And then fertilize it, and it'll come back really nice and fresh. Because we're coming into a big, big time of year for fescue lawns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to really be growing real quickly and all that. And you do want to cut it a little bit low right now, but raise it up. It should be about 3 inches by the end of April, first mm-hmm. of May. It should be about 3 inches tall because summer is on its way.
Yes.
Yeah. It seems you guys are having a hard time controlling the weather.
The
extremes and all that. And so if it's going to be extremely cold now, it'll probably be extremely hot in the summertime.
Well, you've been looking at Kevin's playbook now, haven't you?
But anyway, I can anticipate a hot spring. And actually, the weather forecasters, typically they're 180 degrees off, and I hope they are in this case. It's going to be a hot April and a hot May. So get ready for that, too.
Goodness sakes.
So, in other words, get your lawn ready. Get your as soon as this stuff melts and goes away.
It'll be a quick transition.
Yeah, it'll be a very quick transition. The daffodils will be up in like 3 days. Yeah.
Spring's everything, popping out all over.
A lot of things are actually going to be in bloom by the end of the week. You'll see your river birch blooming, and your maple trees will be in bloom at the end of this week, too, if they weren't killed off by the cold. So it's going to be a very, very quick transition.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, we have to transition to a break. We're going to have more coming up with the Green Country Gardener Program after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. Want you to know we have any rental need that you could possibly have at a competitive rate with excellent service. So if you have a project coming up on the weekend that you need a boom for, you need a water pump, a trencher, a mini excavator, we can take care of you. You pay a one-day price, you keep it the entire weekend, you're not in a rush, it's a great deal. Come see us, give us a chance to take care of you. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Rentals. 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny
skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Bartlesville's News Talk, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Open up the champagne, pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door in the night.
Yeah, we're going to get out of your house and out of your lawn and garden here.
Yeah.
Maybe in a few days.
Good thing is with the cold we'll have fewer little pests and things, I think. So that's usually what happens. So
this is the Green Country Gardener Program. Your calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. And Larry, I haven't broken a shovel all week. Glass is with us, so.
Yeah, really? No, yeah. I haven't had to. I was looking through my photographs. And
yeah.
And when I break a shovel, I'll send it to my supplier.
What are you digging there? Rocks?
What in the
close
world?
To it?
That's a solid steel shovel. Anyway, that's fine. So anyway, we talked a little bit about lawns. It's really you don't want to do anything to Bermuda grass at this point. Mm-hmm. And it's a bit early for pre-emergent also.
Ooh.
Typically, you do that around St. Patrick's Day. So that's 4 weeks away.
Yep.
So you might want to wait a little bit. You might want to acquire the materials at this point.
Yeah, get them before everybody else starts getting crazy.
Yeah, so because That way, the suppliers, us included, can have a chance to order some more if we run out.
Yeah.
And rather than waiting till the last minute, when everybody wants it all at once, if you do come out and get it, then we can restock the shelves in time. But a lot of times, the stuff's not available to the mm-hmm. from the suppliers mm-hmm. because of demand.
Mm-hmm.
So get it early, and that way
you don't have to be sorry later.
Yeah, exactly. So you might consider getting the materials at this point to do that. And, look at your lawn spreader and all that. Maybe clean it out. It's too early to fool around with the lawnmower.
Yeah. I looked at mine. It's still there.
It's still, still there.
It's still there.
Yeah. I'm thinking about getting new wheels for mine.
Really?
They're worn out, yes. So, anyway. So, anyway, there's a... tree of the week is the Eastern Red Cedar.
Okay.
The Eastern Red Cedar is a natively occurring plant here.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that's green right now, and it's the one that's somewhat scorned by a lot of people. It is somewhat flammable.
I want that igniting tree, Larry.
but there are varieties of the Eastern Red
right
Cedar.
Right next to the burning bush. Never mind.
There are varieties of the cedar, Juniperus virginiana, mm-hmm. that are desirable, actually. Anyway, it's not just a native plant, but anyway, there's Kettleray and Canardy. Those are the big ones.
Okay.
Got a caller?
Yeah, I do believe we do. Let's take a call. Hi, good morning. You're on with the Green Country Gardener.
Hello? What was the question of the day?
We just do that on the weekdays.
Oh, just weekdays?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Do you know if the city disposal recycle center's open today?
I believe it is.
It is? Okay,
yeah,
I'll
double-check the website here for you and make sure. It's cityofbartlesville.org. There we go. I believe so.
Okay, Larry. I mm-hmm. don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yes, there are desirable varieties of the juniper, one of which is the Taylor juniper. That's a very narrow and upright-growing variety of the junipers. Mm-hmm. Juniperus virginiana,
mm-hmm.
and it's highly desired because it looks a whole lot like the Italian mm-hmm. cypress.
Yeah,
we sell a bunch of these things, really. So they're pretty cool plants. Birds like it for a cover, and the berries, of course. Here it is scorned for, like I said, its flammability tendency.
Yeah,
and it is susceptible to bagworms, mites, and cedar apple rust.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have its drawbacks, but anyway, they're a pretty tough plant. So anyway, it's tough, drought tolerant, makes a good screen or a windscreen.
Mm-hmm.
And these have withstood the test of time, actually, because they're still here.
Mm-hmm.
And they grow wild and they kind of spread everywhere. They're, believe it or not, this native cedar, or we call it cedar. It's not really a cedar, it's a juniper.
Mm-hmm.
They're dioecious.
Dioecious?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've got male and female on separate plants.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them will have the blueberries on them, some of them won't.
Mm-hmm.
So it just grows in drought, in wet, in dry, in cold, and heat. It's just very tolerant of our conditions.
Except for fire.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, there are some desirable varieties. And there's other kind of junipers as well that do very well. One I really like is the blue star juniper.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little blue thing that kind of grows, and they last a long time in the landscape. That's them in some compositions that have been there for 30 years.
Yeah, that's a good long run.
And they do very well here. And mm-hmm. because they're so low to the ground, they don't have a tendency to get bagworms.
Mm-hmm.
I very rarely see mites on a blue star juniper. So they do very well as kind of a color accent plant. Mm-hmm. I like to associate it with stones and things in the composition because it sort of wraps itself around them and really makes a really nice composition that
cool.
way.
Cool. Yeah.
And then there's the shore juniper.
Mm-hmm.
Juniperus comforta, which is another spreading variety of juniper. It only gets about this tall,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of spreads out.
It would be
out.
About 5 inches for you folks without a color set.
Oh, yeah, of course. And it's unique in that it does tolerate some degree of shade as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it does very well here, and it'll last quite a long time. It tends to, the creeping junipers can get out of hand. You need to occasionally just whack them back so they'll... Mm-hmm. fill in again.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, of course, the blue rug juniper, which is a creeping variety, also very low growing, about 3 inches tall perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to use it in rocky compositions as well because it does tolerate the heat quite well.
Good.
And these plants have very few needs as far as that's concerned, as far as...
Needs, yeah.
Fertilization and water. They're very tolerant of a wide variety of conditions. Most of them just simply do not like the shade. So you want to make sure they're in sunny areas to do quite well.
They like to be seen.
Yeah. So there's another one called the gray owl juniper.
Okay.
It does very well. It's kind of a low-growing plant, and we've used it successfully in a few landscapes. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of a medium-sized juniper, if you will.
Yeah.
And there's some yellow ones, too. So there's all kinds of different colors and variations in this particular plant. And just because somebody says juniper, oh, no, bagworms, that's not true across the board, really.
Okay.
And bagworms are fairly easy to control as well. There are several ways to do it. One is a systemic application of imidacloprid, which itself makes the plant somewhat toxic to the insects. And secondarily, the Bacillus thuringiensis, which would be a good biological control.
Mm-hmm.
The damage done by the bagworm is done in its larval stage, and that's when they're susceptible, is in a larval stage. So you might consider, as a preventative measurement, perhaps putting a application of BT, which is a quick name for Bacillus thuringiensis.
There you go.
BT to control the bagworms on your junipers.
Got
not
it.
To be confused with tent caterpillars.
New.
Which they form, I guess, a bag, if you will,
yeah.
in the tree. And those can be controlled similarly, but at different times.
That's quite a construction project they put together. When you see those...
Three years ago, this place looked like Halloween.
It did.
In August. I mean, it's crazy. All the trees are covered in these bagworms. So anyway, so that's kind of the ins and outs of junipers. And they're really workhorses in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not just the old thing out in the hills kind of juniper anymore. Mm-hmm. They're more desirable varieties that are actually very functional in the landscape.
Good.
So I like to use them just for little color accents here and there. Because in the wintertime, the blue colors and the yellow colors, and you contrast that with the colors of the dwarf nandinas, it makes for somewhat of a colorful composition in the winter.
Good deal. We're going to have a little bit more coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to take a little bit of a break. It is 8:31, and we'll be back after this two-minute timeout.
In piles of cash right now on your new car, truck, or SUV from your Silverado City Roman Chevrolet Buick. Save hundreds, even thousands of dollars by buying or leasing your next vehicle. Roman's offers a huge variety of specials, offers, and deals on your favorite vehicles. Get all the details today from one of Roman's friendly sales experts. Buy or lease from Roman Chevrolet Buick, 2313 West Main in Independence. Visit RomansGM.com today. Remember, Romans delivers nationwide.
Peters True Value and Dewey always have good bargains each month. For February, for the do-it-yourself projects, check out the 37-piece DeWalt screwdriving set with case for $14.99, regularly priced at $26.99. A 34-piece DeWalt socket set, 1/4-inch and 3/8-inch drive for $29.99, regularly $44.99. And Dremel has a variable-speed 24-piece rotary toolkit at Peters for $49.99, regular price $69.99. Save on these and other great bargains at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
When auto accidents happen, don't worry. Call the repair specialists, Bartlesville Collision Center. Owner, Travis King, has been in the repair business for 20 years and knows what to do. He's your vehicle's superhero.
Here I come to save the day.
Whether your vehicle was in a vehicle accident or just needs repair work, take it to Bartlesville Collision Center, the people you know and trust. In Bartlesville, call 331-3000 for an appointment or stop by 140 Northeast Washington Boulevard, where they will give you a detailed estimate of the service it needs. Remember, auto accidents happen, and if you're involved in one, call the auto repair specialist, Bartlesville Collision Center, and they'll take care of you and your vehicle professionally.
Chose man to make
Oh, yeah. Larry and I doing the temptation moves here. It is the Green Country Gardener Program, and you're welcome to be a part of it at 1-800-749-5936. And, Larry, we were talking about junipers.
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 Junipers. Junipers.
Okay.
That's a phonetic transposition.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, Shrub of the Week is Cotoneaster.
There's the one that, okay.
Cotoneaster. Yeah, it's a prunus, the type of prunus. And okay. It's another kind of versatile plant in the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
It can take full sun to light dappled shade, really. Cotoneaster does best in well-drained soils with supplemental watering during dry spells. And its hardiness is zone US 5 to 8, of which we're right in the middle.
There we are.
Yeah, I like to use this plant for small-scale ground covers, hedges, specimen plants, erosion control.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a good air cleaner, too.
It is?
Yeah, it emits a lot of oxygen, so it's a good plant to have. Anyway, one feature of this plant is lots of red berries, and the flowers attract bees and butterflies, and the fruits are eaten by birds. The fruits might be mildly toxic if you eat a lot of them. So anyway, you have to eat a lot of berries to be harmful. The leaves are small to medium with a smooth margin and a very distinct parallel venation on the leaves.
Yeah.
So in other words, the arteries in the leaves, they're associated in a very parallel configuration.
Mm-hmm.
I like to associate this one with boulders and informal borders, low informal hedges or backdrop plants.
Mm.
Anyway, the Cotoneaster is another one of those versatile plants. And I've used them in several compositions, say around boulders again, and as specimen backdrop plants too. And I've used them in the Osage Hills and used them in town, and the animals don't seem to bother them that much. So they, except for the birds, eat the berries.
I was gonna say, but anyway, there's some critters that are gonna be looking for a snack.
Anyway, it does. You can use it for a lot of things in the landscape composition. It does require a little bit of a little bit of maintenance, just to keep it tidy, if you will, because it tends to kind of grow way out. It's kind of the adolescent of plants. It kind of goes off in all different tangents, and you do need to do exercise a little bit of control on this plant to keep
just
it
a
looking
bit.
Nice. There are some varieties that are real small and chubby, and they have these little big berries on them, and there's some that grow almost flat to the ground. So this is a very versatile species. Pests involved with that, it might get a bagworm on it occasionally, but typically it's not that bad on the lower grown varieties, and it does have a tendency to get a little bit of rust and maybe some stem rot here and there. But and some the black fungus, what's it called? Anyways,
icky stuff.
Yeah, it tends to get some of that too. But in most cases though, if you put it in an area like I mentioned before. With full sun to part dappled light, or at the minimum, sunshine dappled light, it should do very well in the landscape. And I like it just for its low growth potential, its high growth potential, its seasonal interest with the berries on it and all that. I like to use this in the landscape for some accents here and there. Mm-hmm. Negative is, though, the lower growing varieties catch a lot of leaves. Especially these big sycamore leaves, which come out of who knows where. And you need a good leaf blower to keep them kind of cleaned out. But they do catch a lot of leaves, which can be bad. It can be good, too. It does help keep it protected in the wintertime. Mm-hmm. This variety is very, very hardy in the cold, so it does really quite well. So for something that, number one, the wildlife really likes, everything from butterflies to birds really like these plants. To being a kind of a clean air kind of plant too, and tolerant of all kinds of growing conditions as far as temperature and moisture content are concerned. This is one you might want to consider in the landscape.
It sounds like one that keeps giving.
Well, yeah, it's just another variety of plants that has been bred and hybridized, and they have different shapes and forms, and they all share a similar attribute in their hardiness and appearance. So they're pretty good plants. So Cotoneaster is not necessarily the shrub of the week, but it's a variety of shrubs of the week, if you will.
Gotcha.
So no, it's not a member of the Barberry family. It's a prunus. Which is incorporates everything from the cherry trees to plums to whatnot. So, good plant. Okay, yep. Annual of the week. This is one we sell a lot of, the Evolvulus glomeratus. And it's a very attractive sky blue flowers with a slight white center. The leaves are somewhat lanceolate, a little bit hairy, if you will. And they maintain themselves very well in the summer. It's native to Brazil. Evolvulus is a non-vining morning glory-like tender perennial with trailing stems. And it can be planted in the ground as a bedding plant, kind of a low-growing thing. Trailing stems tend to grow somewhat horizontal to downward when planted in baskets and containers. And it's kind of a non-vining, it's kind of a vining habit. Hawaiian Blue Eyes is a popular cultivar. And they've come up with some new ones that bloom a little more heavily on the Evolvulus. This is a tropical annual, so you use it in your annual beds. It does very well in a hanging basket. We sell a ton of these in a hanging basket because it kind of droops down and has all these blue flowers on it. It's really kind of nice. And it's tolerant of our conditions, being native to warm, humid.
Warm,
humid. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
What? Outside.
Yeah. It'll get warm. There in a couple of
days.
Yeah,
it'll be here.
It'll get there.
Anyway. One variety is Blue Days, which is a lot of flowers on it and so on. And there's a North American species, whatever. And it hardy to USD Zone 4, but it's not as attractive as the tropical varieties of this plant, too. So anyway, Evolvulus, if you're looking for a plant that does very well, in our hot climate, it gives you blooms all summer long, and if you do anything but overwater it should do just fine. They're for something blue. Blue flowers are not very common in the landscape, and this one gives you some blue.
Very nice.
It's of course like all the flowering plants, it does need quite a bit of phosphorus in its diet, if you will. So the Miracle-Gro for blooming, or we have some other varieties for blooming characteristics. A lot of the phosphorus in the middle will encourage some blooms on this plant. Of course, it likes organic, rich soil.
It does.
It won't work in the clay.
No, it won't.
But anyway, other than that, it'll make a really good plant. So you might consider that in your landscape composition as a border plant or as a hanging basket plant or as a potted plant. If you do a potted plant, say, with a Dracaena spike, this will arch down below it, so you have this real dramatic difference in texture and color on your pot compositions. So it's a good versatile plant.
We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener Program after this 2-minute timeout.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5-inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey Del Burrito Express, Price's Old Fashioned Meat Market, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville, CV's in Dewey, and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 K-Rig. When you're out in your vehicle and break down or have engine trouble, call Paul's Wrecker Service. They provide 24/7 AAA wrecker service with Wreckmaster service certified drivers. When you need a jump start, vehicle doors to be unlocked, or help putting on a spare tire, call Paul's Wrecker Service, 918-333-9570. When trouble hits, call Paul's Wrecker Service for fast, reliable service, 918-333-9570.
Jericho Tile and Carpet Incorporated has all your flooring needs, like natural stone tile, including Tavertine and in-stock tile. Choose a new rug from Jericho's many styles and put a rug down on the new floor to add definition. It's not just about flooring. Jericho has granite countertops to add to that certain finished look to your kitchen or bathroom. Explore the many possibilities at Jericho Tile and Carpet Incorporated on the southeast corner of Don Tyler and Highway 75 in Dewey.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. It is 8:43, and our phone lines are open if you have a question. And no, we're not going to grow any snow. 1-800-749-5936. But as Larry was talking about it here by midweek, look, except for that stuff in the parking lot that gets kind of piled up, yeah, it's going to be gone.
It'll be gone. The ground will be kind of wet, too. So it'll be a great time. Would have mentioned the fertilizer things with a good moisture content. Mm-hmm. With a little bit of rain coming on too to kind of get that down in there. You do want to fertilize when the ground is fairly moist.
Mm-hmm.
The fertilizer just doesn't run into the ground. It has to diffuse into the ground. You remember science class?
Yes.
Diffusion. That's how it gets down there. You can work it into the ground a little bit, but still you have to have that diffusion, and that is transported by water.
And let the water work for you.
If the ground is dry, it will not get down in there. It'll just wash down to the river and make the trees in the river go really
and
big.
The fish are going, what's that?
Yeah. So you do want to fertilize.
You didn't fertilize when it was moist again.
You want to fertilize when it's moist, and it may seem kind of silly, but you want to water it in too. So.
Indeed.
Now, sprinkler systems, I think we're going to have maybe a little bit of damage to sprinkler systems this
year. You think?
Yeah, maybe a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
Probably close to the backflow preventer. Mm-hmm. If you properly drain your backflow preventer, it should be okay. But the pipe leading to the backflow preventer, if there's any water in it, it might be shattered. And they're pretty easy to repair. It's not that expensive to do. The backflow preventers, if you forgot to winterize your system, well, it's toast.
Whoop, see ya.
Whoops, yeah. So, but if you properly did it, and I actually checked up on some people, and they didn't drain it completely.
No.
And I went around to my customer's house. Well, he tried, but.
He tried.
But I fixed it before it got too cold. So, anyway, so that's kind of what maybe a problem with the irrigation systems perhaps would be.
Mm-hmm.
At the backflow preventer or any shallow spots, say if you got a lot of rock or something,
mm-hmm.
there might be an area where the pipe might burst. Mm-hmm. But and I would highly recommend, as soon as this stuff clears out, pressurizing it and look for problems.
Uh-huh.
Because when it comes to late May or something, all the landscapers in town are busy trying to get caught up after all this rain. Or cold, rather. And we're putting in stuff everywhere, and it'd be difficult to get somebody there to look into it.
To do the repair.
So I'd highly recommend, as soon as possible, to maybe pressurize it and look for problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can get them resolved early. Because if it's going to be a while getting somebody. Sometimes, you know, we get backed up in the spring, and it's a week or so before we can be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just to even look at it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you're telling me you, the winter weather really didn't harm you too much. You've been busy.
But nonetheless.
You're going to be playing some serious catch-up as soon as this white stuff gets
I know. We've got a backlog.
Already.
What?
Everybody else has got the same problem.
You ever
tried
to landscape on an exoplanet?
No, I haven't.
Jeez.
Not lately.
But anyway, so you want to check in on that as soon as possible and make sure everything's okay with it. I know back in the late 80s, we went to above ground backflow preventers, and that created a few problems with some people. They tend to forget about these things. And anyway, we're installing irrigation systems with blue line or blue lock pipe. And it's a high density polyethylene. And typically we put our backflow preventer and meet everything by code. You got to do all that. Make sure that pipe is deep going to the backflow preventer. And then you put a master valve in. And after that, you can use all blue lock. If you have a system that's small enough to use a 1-inch pipe. And we've had very good luck with it being resistant to damage from cold and whatnot. So it's kind of like PEX in that it'll expand and contract and without any problems. Mm-hmm. So we've had good luck with that. It's good flow on it, too. And I like this because when you turn a corner, you don't use an elbow. You just make a radius on it, and it'll take a bend.
So it is good and flexible.
So
yeah.
you get some pressure loss with the
elbow. Yeah.
If you know the physics of turning water 90 degrees like that.
Yeah.
It tends to slow down the water and reduce the efficiency of the system, because to take that mass and make it change direction, when you have a pipeline velocity of say five feet per second, mm-hmm. it takes some of the energy out of the water, and it reduces the efficiency of the system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can streamline it and have the water go down on your master line, just mm-hmm. a nice even flow without mm-hmm. having to make a 90-degree turn, it'll be much more efficient.
Indeed it will.
So that's kind of what we've gone to. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to install. You don't have all the glue mess and everything else. And it's flexible. It won't, you know, it'll with the ground shifting and all that, mm-hmm. it doesn't snap.
Ground shifting in Oklahoma? No.
No, it never happens. And if you do happen to break a line, they're very easy to repair, too, mm-hmm. because it is flexible. You just get a coupling and snap it in, bingo, you're done.
You're done, yeah.
So anyway, that's good. And it's a little bit more, mm-hmm. The materials are a little more expensive, but typically on the design, I give some labor credits mm-hmm. Because it takes less time to put it in.
Very good.
So that's kind of new these new internet-based sprinkler timers are really cool. My customers absolutely love them.
Is these the ones you can use on your phone?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can go out to the yard and say, I want to turn this circuit on. You pull up the app, push the button, and it goes. You don't have to go in and out of the garage and da-da-da-da-da.
How's it looking? Well, a little to the left,
I don't know.
Marge.
Yeah. And I've got customers over my phone here, and they say, I got a problem with it. And I'll look at it. Oh, well, you got some overlap on your – I can program it to –
take care of that overlap.
Yeah, on the fly, I can do that.
And, wow, that's amazing.
And if they're out of town or something, and they want me to check on their sprinkler system,
uh-huh.
I just pull them up on the app and punch it, and
there you
and
go.
There it goes.
So. Amazing. We're going to come back with a little bit more after these words and a 2-minute timeout.
The early 1930s, Frank and Jane Phillips hosted a wonderful party at their lodge home at Willow Rock. For this special party, Frank hired the world-famous magician Harry Blackstone to provide the entertainment for the large crowd. Throughout the evening, Blackstone amazed the guests with his card tricks and sleight of hand, with the crowd applauding and laughing as the tricks got better and better. Finally, Blackstone asked Jane Phillips to step forward. He reached into his coat and removed a new deck of cards and dramatically unwrapped them, removed the cards from the deck, and shuffled them several times. He then asked Mrs. Phillips to cut the cards, which she did, pulling the Queen of Spades, which she showed to the crowd. She put the card back into the deck, and Blackstone carefully shuffled the cards 2 or 3 times, then suddenly spun around and threw the entire deck of cards into the wall of the lodge, just to the left of the front door. 51 cards fell to the floor, and the Queen of Spades stuck on the wall, where it still remains today. A perfect example of the magic of Willow Rock. Come see it for yourself, and welcome home to Willow Rock.
Teach a teacher about energy, and we can help a generation build a better future. That's why ConocoPhillips is working with National Energy Education Development, conducting experiments that help our children understand energy and the importance of conservation, getting kids interested in math and science, bringing energy to life, so we can pass on what matters to the ones who matter most. ConocoPhillips, energy for tomorrow.
Listen to K1 anywhere and with Amazon Echo.
Alexa, tune to KWON Bartlesville.
Getting station KWON.
One more way to enjoy your favorite station. K1 AM 1400 and FM 93.3.
Here we are back with the show, Green Country Gardener.
We were talking about the web-based irrigation timers.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Advantage of them is they have kind of a default program built into them mm-hmm. in case the internet goes flat.
Yep.
But anyway, you don't enter the time on these things.
You don't?
You enter your soil type. You enter sun or shade. What kind of plants you want to put on there. What kind of slope you have. And, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it gathers information from the National Weather Service. In other words, what kind of rain is predicted, what the temperature, how much wind are we having, and all this other stuff. And it formulates a premise for irrigation on your property.
Well, hot dog.
No, we used to, well, I want to go Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 o'clock in the morning, da, da, da. You know, you don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Station 1, 20 minutes. Station 2, 15 minutes. You don't do that. Mm-hmm. It takes into consideration what kind of sprinkler heads you have on there, be it the spray heads or rotary heads, and the soil type, what kind of plants you have, and so on. Then it gathers heat information, temperature information, rain information, how much rain we've had, and it, through computations, it tells the irrigation system how much water to apply. It also does it in the middle of the night.
Well, that's just icing on the cake, isn't it?
Exactly. Or early in the morning, depending on what you have. Yeah. You can vary that also. Yeah. And you can also do a manual program, too. In other words, you pull it up.
Well, I'd just let it do its thing if I were you. But I
yeah, but if you
have to. Yeah.
If it looks a little bit dry, you change the soil type.
Yeah.
To, instead of a clay soil, maybe a sandy loam or type soil or something that drains a little bit better, and it'll water a little bit more.
Okay.
And if you have, say, annuals, tender annuals on there, it'll water a little bit more on an annual bed than, say, your lawn area.
Gotcha.
So it uses algorithms to tell you how much water you're putting in. You don't have the timetable and A, B, C, D program, stuff like that, which can get rather confusing to some people.
Yeah.
And it, it just takes over for you.
That old Archimedes thought he had something going on.
And you can establish a manual program. You switch it over to manual. You can do it the old-fashioned way if you want. But I've used this at home on my drip systems and all that, and it works very well. You don't have to worry about setting the time on it. It just does it when it needs it. So it's pretty cool. Saves you some water, too. Because by being accountable to the natural irrigation that's coming down, you can save a ton of water just by only watering when the stuff really needs it.
I love efficiency, and that sounds like it's very efficient.
So it takes over this this unconscious programming where it waters when it rains, and it doesn't throttle back after a rain. It just keeps watering going the same amount every single day. Now, they've come up with moisture sensors, which help a whole lot, too.
Oh, good.
But they have a hard time with longevity. You get the galvanic corrosion a lot on them, and they they can't, they don't. And there's also some difficulty in programming them and getting to work and all that. They're a little sketchy at this point, and you have to buy a lot of them. Each circuit
has
to have
one.
Each circuit has to have its own little moisture sensor, and it gets kind of expensive. So that's one way to do it, is through moisture sensors. But there, the reliability goes down as time progresses due to corrosion and whatnot. So by knowing what's happening out there in the environment, it can react to that, and it's much more efficient.
Like it.
Available in up to 16 channels on a timer. Oh. And they're working on a way to join them together so you can have up to, you know, 32 channels of watering. Which comes in handy if you live in an area where the water pressure is really low. You need more.
Yeah.
We did a system in Osage where we used one of these. And they're on the rural water, and you put in a pump and all that to boost the water pressure. So we have 16 channels in an area where we'd normally have 8 channels because of the available water. And the blue line worked beautifully. Just a straight shot all the way on down there, and the last circuit works just as good as the front circuit.
Wow.
Because there's very little pressure loss. Now, you got to keep your pipeline velocity down to 5 feet per second or less for it to really be efficient. If you put a whole lot of demand on a sprinkler system and you get that pipeline velocity real high, you get a lot of friction loss, and the electric valves aren't designed to handle any more than that. So you lose a lot of efficiency. So there's really not a lot of sense in trying to run 10 sprinkler heads on a 1-inch valve. It just won't work.
Nope.
So you want to break it up into little circuits and whatnot. So
let it work for you.
A lot of engineering involved with this, too. So math. You got to, some math. Oh, no.
Math.
You got to do all that. So anyway, so that's kind of sprinkler system. Golly, we're running about to run out of time here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, at the nursery, we have a great set of houseplants for you right now at this point.
Houseplants, good.
The succulents are becoming very popular because they're very low maintenance houseplants. Mm-hmm. That's about the primary thing they require is light and maybe a little bit of warmth. Look outside, yeah, what? But anyway, the succulents are very tolerant, and the sansevierias and whatnot, they're becoming popular too. So we've got a good selection of houseplants in the nursery to choose. Mm-hmm. And our hard goods coming in, the chemicals, we're carrying a big line of organic alternative things for fungus and insects and whatnot.
Folks have been really asking
and,
for
that. Yeah, and that technology has really advanced a lot. There's been a lot of, you know, discoveries and whatnot mm-hmm. in that field. So you don't have to pull out all these toxic poisons and thing with skull and crossbones everywhere, you know, to do that anymore.
What are you doing with all that poison?
I've been using that on my fruit trees now for a couple of years.
It works very well.
Mm-hmm. The spinosad is one.
Yeah.
That's a broad spectrum insecticide that's very safe to use. And the Thuricide is another one, BT. And neem oil is another one. It's just unique how the neem oil works. We can talk about that a little bit later on, perhaps in another show. But it's very effective in controlling insect populations. Mm-hmm. And there's some other ones out there, too, that are very effective in controlling insect and fungal populations without having to revert to harmful
petrochemicals. Yeah.
Chemicals, yeah. Yeah. You don't have to worry about skull and crossbones again. But anyway, come check it out at the nursery. We're on No Water Road, halfway between Madison and Washington Boulevard on the south side of the road. And golly, as things go, keep that shovel sharp. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Larry. You've been listening to the Green Country Gardener Program.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227C.